Well, tonight, Biden and Trump go at it. There's going to be a mute button. This is the last debate, if you can call the first one a debate, not a disaster. It's like, it didn't seem like it was that time that you spilled the big pot of stew or chili all over your kitchen floor. No, they called it a debate. So they're going to do it again, but this time they're going to have a mute button. Donald Trump released a 60 Minutes interview he walked out of after 40 minutes with Leslie Stahl. It's going to release on Sunday. I guess the Trump administration also taped it, and they just released a clip. I don't know. Here's one. I don't know what this tells you. Here's a clip that Trump released.
Let me ask you what you think your the biggest domestic priority is for you right now.
Well, ultimately, let me, and I'll tell you, it was happening. We created the greatest economy in the history of our country. And the other side
you
was coming
that.
In.
You know that's not true.
It is totally true.
No.
Best unemployment numbers, best employment numbers, 160 million people working, highest stock market price. You wouldn't say that to Biden, what you just said to me, if he had it. If he had it, you would never say that to Biden.
And I guess, I don't know what they're going to show here, the editing. Anyway, we'll see what happens. What do we expect? What do you expect when you're expecting another debate? Political pregnancy man, David Mandel, executive producer and showrunner of seasons 5, 6, and 7 of Veep, which used to be a satire and now is a documentary. The former executive producer and writer on Curb Your Enthusiasm and Seinfeld joins us now. Hello, sir.
Hello. How are you? That clip is so sad. It's just really, don't you find it sad? I don't know. I was listening to it just thinking, I feel so bad. I don't feel bad for him, but just a man, all he wants is to be on 60 Minutes and have people like him, and it's so desperate. It's really really something to hear.
Well, he's released the entire interview, like everything, and well, I guess we can see it, and you know, 60 Minutes edits it. I don't know. Look,
yeah.
We are in this weird final couple weeks, less than 2 weeks away from the election. Let's just talk about tonight, because you and I, we talked about the first debate. I remember speaking to you, David, and you were, it was like someone had taken the air out of your balloon. You're like,
yeah,
oh, man.
I was really depressed, and it took a while to recover. And I got to be honest, until the debate actually starts, I'm not sure I 100% believe it's going to happen. I got to be honest, that he's going to find, I don't know, some way to walk out or get angry or something. And by the way, if I was Joe Biden, I might walk out if it turns into what it was last time, especially if they go after Hunter Biden the way it sounds like that's the plan. I mean, it's just, why would you put yourself through it at this point, honestly?
Well, it's an interesting point. Look, they've agreed to the debate. There's a mute button that Donald Trump doesn't
like. Trump agreed to the second debate, too. Still waiting for that one. So, yeah.
Right. That was the town hall, which didn't turn out for him as well. The Savannah Guthrie moments. But it's interesting because there is no upside for Joe Biden if you look at the polls. I mean, if Joe Biden has a big mistake, it could actually be bad for him. This is for Donald Trump. You know, if the polls are to be believed, David, this is it for him. This is the bottom of the ninth. He's at the plate. Like, I think there's way more upside for Trump than for Biden here.
Well, yeah, I think Trump needs something to happen, but I think bottom of the ninth is a little too almost nice. I just think it's like, you know, rat backed into a corner, and you know, sometimes they gnaw their own legs off. You know what I mean? It's like I just worry to go back to baseball, he's just going to be swinging so sort of dangerously and wildly, just looking for something. But the thing that's the most strange, when I step back, and I don't, maybe you have more of a perspective on it from where you are, since you're not as, you know, living it in the sort of here in the States, which is, it's such a strange campaign where all this Hunter Biden stuff is just really based, I guess, on just hoping that one extra unregistered white uneducated male signs up to register and votes. Like that's the entire campaign. There's no outreach to anyone else. It's just hoping you can get the base out, and that the base, if you if we can get our base out and we can stop the other side from voting and we set a couple of ballot boxes on fire and we change the rules as much as we can, that that's going to win. And there just have not been a lot of, I can't think of an election like that in the history of the United States where there was no attempt. You know, the typical thing is to sort of, you know, start where you are in the primaries and then move to the center to win the election. And he just has no natural feel for reaching out to anyone. And I guess that's what I find shocking. So I just think it's going to be, he's going to be a wild animal tonight, mute button or no mute button. That's what I think.
Well, give me the sense of this. I was speaking to an American friend today, David, and he said, there's almost like a, things are so polarized there. Like look, it's one thing. I've seen elections forever. It's one thing where opponents go at each other, but this is personal. Everyone's a criminal and corruption and the system's baked. Like the all out attack on the legitimacy of everything from, you know, the electoral system. It's a free for all in the way I've never seen it in the midst of a pandemic and wildfires. But someone said to me, there's almost like a grievance. It's almost like the U.S. is in trauma. How do you, like, I'm just asking you as an American, you're watching this, how do you feel about it? Like, is it having a more than just a political impact, but is there something different this time?
Yeah, I mean, I always sort of joke, I'm not sure anyone in ancient Rome was able to pinpoint the moment that things began to decline and fall, do you know what I mean? But I feel like a lot of us are starting to become acutely aware that whatever this so-called American age may have been is over. I mean, it just feels like, I got to be honest, obviously I'm voting for Biden, I'm working incredibly hard, hell, we're doing a Veep event tonight, we're doing a Seinfeld event tomorrow night for Texas. So I am going to work till election day. That all being said, while I want Joe Biden to win, while I think, you know, a Joe Biden administration, a Democratic Senate can do some good, I got to be honest, I don't believe it's going to solve everything. And not because they're going to have issues, you know, politically. I just mean, I'm just starting to wonder that these are just unsolvable problems where, you know, we've become a little bit of a joke. And, you know, 20 years from now, you know, America is sort of that place nobody wants to visit and people are just kind of leaving for other places.
Wow.
I hate to say that. It's very pessimistic.
It is.
We're in a world right now where I don't like what Republicans are doing, but crazy Republicans, and I'm sure they'd be upset that I'm using the word crazy, they think Democrats are smuggling children underground through pizza places and are worshiping Satan. That's not a normal political conversation. You know what I'm saying? Like, having a conversation on one level, and they are in a place that I don't know how you come back from that.
All
so,
right,
so you know, that's the end of America, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. You know, you lose a lot of money betting against America. Like, you think of 1968 and the assassinations and the riots and the Vietnam War. Look, the remarkable gift of the U.S. Democratic experiment is its remarkable ability to reinvent itself. So I'm not going to underestimate that, but let me do this.
Let me know what my odds are to bet. But anyway, go on, yeah.
Let me take a break. When we come back, I want to hear about this event, this Seinfeld event that you're doing. And then I want to ask this question. If David Mandel was writing a script on this, who would he cast to play Rudy Giuliani? Who would he cast to play Rudy? And what would? And I'll tell you a story, because I covered 9/11. And I remember him there. I was just a few feet away from him and at his best. So David Mandel's coming back when we come back next. Welcome back to the program. I remember covering 9/11. And I was down at the pit. Dark days. It was tragic, obviously. I had the planes hit the Twin Towers. And my producer said, you're going down to cover it. And I did. I got in a van with a couple guys and cameraman, and we went down. We drove straight. Border was closed. We managed to get through New York. I remember the sign, New York City closed. And we spent a couple weeks there, and I don't know how many times I was at a press conference outside with Rudy Giuliani, the mayor of New York. And I was 3-4 feet away from him multiple times. And this was a guy at his best. Like, at that moment, he was America's mayor, and that was the Rudy Giuliani I remember. And I see him now, and he's out there. Look, he has every right to support Donald Trump, but he's pushing out theories all the time that are just so, he's just not the guy I remember. What has happened to him? And now, of course, he's featured in a Borat movie where the Borat people allege, I guess, that he put his hand down his pants. He said he was tucking in his shirt. This is like an episode literally from Curb Your Enthusiasm. And one of the writers of Curb and Seinfeld and the showrunner for Veep, David Mandel, the EP, the executive producer of Veep, joins us. This is literally like an episode of Curb, right? Like I when you saw the Rudy Giuliani stuff in Borat, that I just can't believe what world we're in. And he's the lawyer for the president of the United States.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, let's be honest. I think the larger question is how did somebody not realize, like, that this was a fake? Do you know what I mean? Like just the fact that, like, it was that easy to trick him, whatever, into a hotel room. That how readily this, like, regardless of whether he was or wasn't reaching in to his pants, there was no problem luring him to a hotel room. And that's, that to me is the larger problem to begin with, you know?
So strange. Who would you cast? You're making the movie. Who do you cast for?
You know who I love, who I think is a brilliant actor, but also comic actor, who would be a great Giuliani because he kind of looks like him ever so slightly too, is Richard Jenkins, the dad in Step Brothers. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I know exactly who you're talking
about.
How
great would he be as Giuliani? I mean, that would be perfect.
That is funny. The dad in Step Brothers, Jenkins has been around for, and that's hilarious. He was, by the way, one of my sons. I just watched that movie with one of my kids. Amazing.
Oh, such a good movie. Such a good movie. That movie had just come out on home video. On like HBO right after our first child was born. And basically we were just sitting at home with the baby, like sort of staring at just Step Brothers over and over and over and over again. So
it has a special place. Richard Jenkins was in like The Shape of Water, which won the Academy Award.
No, I know.
And you're like, he's the guy from Step Brothers, because that's the one we actually remember.
He is an incredible actor. He's an incredible actor. Yeah.
So good. What are you doing? So the science. So I know you've had these Veep reunions.
Yeah, we're doing a mini
Seinfeld reunion.
Yeah, a little. Again, they're not full on. You know, we're not doing like the full on things, but basically. Larry David's kind of been out there. Jason Alexander, very active. And obviously Julia's incredibly active, just be doing all these different events, whatever. And so all of a sudden it was sort of this no-brainer when we realized, like, there was still time and that places still needed help. And so the three of them sort of got together with me kibitzing a little from the side to just say, why don't the three of you just do sort of like a Seinfeld-themed event and they're doing it on Friday night for Texas, basically for the Democratic Party of Texas, and Texas is sort of the great white whale for the Democratic Party, if you will. The idea of turning Texas blue would be a real dream, and Biden's running really competitively there. MJ Hagar is challenging for the Senate there. In fact, the American Senator John Cornyn, who's the Texas guy that she's running against, she's doing so well, he actually tried to disagree publicly with Trump. That's how much Trump has the Republican Party wrapped around its fingers, that this guy finally sort of said, maybe kind of, I don't know, sort of maybe, I don't know, Trump's not doing maybe the bestest job he sort of maybe could be doing on coronavirus. That was a full attack from the Republican senator.
Do you guys ever worry that, if I don't know if Jerry Seinfeld himself is going to join, but you guys are all creating these beloved programming that all Americans love. Do you ever get that Michael Jordan moment where, Republicans and Democrats both buy shoes? That's why he wasn't political. That notion that if you are too political, if Julia Louise Dreyfus is too political, if Larry David or Jerry Seinfeld or David Mandel, if your group is too political, you basically risk alienating your audience. Is there any fear of that?
Look, I can't speak for everybody else. Certainly Julia, who I know well, and again, I don't want to speak for her fully, but I mean, I guess it's a fear, but I guess what I'll say is the following. you know, the shows, the things we make are not necessarily, obviously Veep is political, but it wasn't political. You know what I mean? It didn't pick a side. And yeah. So if someone isn't going to watch something because, you know, you did an event for Texas and you speak out for Democrats or whatever, well, usually what goes along with that is they kind of already hate you, and they think all Hollywood people are sucking the adrenal glands out of children, again, in the basements of pizza parlors. So you may have lost them already. Do you know what I mean? I'm not quite sure. I'm not sure you're losing anybody. That's my honest opinion.
But there used to be like a stay out of politics issue.
No, certainly. And look, I don't want to – I did not come on today to necessarily defend Michael Jordan, but – I wasn't there then with him. I will simply say this does not feel like one you can sit on the sidelines for. I just, again, all the reasons we've been talking about. And by the way, you can be on either side. I guess if you really feel like that Trump is the way it'd be going, I don't think you should be on the sidelines either. But certainly on what I call the other side, this is not a time to sit on the sidelines. Like, you may not want to be involved in politics. You may be worried about, like, your audience or all of those things. But it's all hands on deck, as far as I'm concerned.
Like the stay in the lane, you know, stay in your lane basketball players, you know, shut up and dribble, or actors stay in your, like, I get it. When an actor steps out of the quote lane, I hate that term, but, you know, they're going to be subject, like, what do you know about this with your Hollywood X, Y, and Z, your sense of entitlement, you're blinded by privilege and all that. But that's okay. What I always I admire Michael Jordan. I think he was the greatest basketball player ever. But I didn't love him. I loved Muhammad Ali. I loved Arthur Ashe. I loved, Jim Brown. I loved athletes that stepped up and stood for something. Now, it was risky. And once you're in the political ring, you're fair game. But I like people that use their platform to give a crap. I do. I prefer that. And I would say the same for an actor, agree or disagree. I just like when they take a stand.
No, I agree. And I think it's also important, and with all the people you just mentioned, and dare I say, this is how I feel about certainly like Larry and Jason and Julia, nobody's lecturing. This is an event. If you want to come to the event and pay your money and come to the event, great. And if you don't, that's okay too.
But John Voight's on the other side. You're...
Yeah. I think the reason that they hate Hollywood so much is because they don't like who they have on their side. But anyway, that's a theory I'm working on.
Dave Mandel, listen, we'll be watching the debate tonight. It's going to be fascinating. Executive producer and showrunner for three seasons of Veep and Curb and Seinfeld. Good luck with the events. And we'll talk next week. And don't get depressed.
I appreciate that. Let's see what happens tonight. I'll you check in on me, okay?
I will. Take drink some coffee.